Okay, we're picking up the Gemara Kufna and Dalam Beis Rav 5 months at the bottom, the words of Lima Kitanai. So again, we're discussing whether or not using an animal with a muktzah from the side, from an atzadim, was going to be usher in machlokes between Rabba and Abaya about this, and then it also translated into machlokes about using a tree. Is using the side of a tree going to be usher as well? So the Gemara says, Lima Kitanai. Should we suggest that the machlokes in Rabba and Abaya is a machlokes tanaim in the Braisa? The Braisa says, Enolin Beyontav. You're not allowed to go onto Sukkah on Yontav. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Meir Olin Beyontav. You're allowed to go up on it on Yontav. So now again, we're talking about a case of a Sukkah that was two parts made of walls and one part by a tree. So here's what the Gemara says, you're not allowed to go on Yontav, my love, Malkum Lufagi. So doesn't this seem to be what the Machlokas is in this Mishnah, where Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama, right? With the Marasavar, it's Tadin Asurin, that the Tanakama who holds that is Machmir, so then they're going to say that Tadin, using the sides of a tree, is going to be Asur. That's why you're not allowed to go on Yantav. Marasavar Mutarman, however, if Meir is going to hold that it's permitted, he holds that it's going to be Olam Beyontav, says it's going to be permitted, and that also using a Tadin is going to be permitted as well. So Abaye says, no, Abar Abaye, lo, this is not going to be what the Machlokas is in the Braisa. Rather, the Machlokas in the Braisa is something else. The Kuli Almat Tadin Asurin, everyone is going to agree, including Rabbi Meir, that using the side of a tree is going to be aser. Here they're arguing about using ke'ilah, the sides of a tree, which means when someone makes use of the top parts of the wall themselves, everyone that would be use of the side of the that would be considered the side. But using the schach, that would be using the size of the plank, and that's going to be mutter. So Marsavar's Stidate Stadin Asur. The Tanakhama is going to hold that using the sides of a tree is going to be Asur for use. And Marsavar Stidate Stadin Mutarim, whereas Rav Meir is going to hold using the sides of it permitted for use. Now the Gemara says a different sheet. It says the Gemara, Rava Amar Manda Asur Bit Stadin. So now whoever says that using the size of a tree is Asur Nabi Bit Stidate Stadin is also saying that using the side of a tree as well is going to be Asur. Manda Shari Bit Stadin, Shari Nabi Bit Stadin. The one who permits using the size of a tree is going to say that using the size of a tree is also going to be mutter. Therefore, the Tanai and the Braisa disagree with regards to Tzidei Tzadim. They would also disagree with regards to Tzadim as well. So you don't have this machlokas in the Gemara, and the Mishnah is not really going to translate to machlokas Rava and Abaye. So Gemara says, "Esive Rav Misharshel and Rava. Rav Misharshel is a kasha on Rava, though. If not, it's and turning out to like stamina. No, it's Yosef Be'ilan. If someone stuck a stake into a tree, Vesela Ba'Kalkala, and he hung a basket in that stake and put an Erev into his basket. And the halacha about an Erev is that you use an Erev, a person is establishing his makom in order for a person to go 2,000 amos. It's where his makom, Lina is makom, where you're creating your makom. We'll get to this in the Erev very, very soon. So this halacha, the Bais is going to over here, is telling you that where you're establishing it. So if you put fruits in the basket, let's say, and you put your Erev into the basket, Allah is going to be, if it, depending. The Mara says, now, L'mala ma'asar tfachim, ain't a Erev. If it's above 10 tfachim, then your Erev is not a valid Erev, because we're assuming that it's usher to take it out of that place. Because if we're talking about a basket which is 4 tfachim wide, when you put the basket 10 tfachim above the ground, that is going to be a Rishus Hayachid. The person standing in the Rishus Harabim is going to be usher then to take anything from the Rishus Harabim into the Rishus Hayachid. That would be the Isser of carrying. That's why it's not going to be a valid Erev, because a valid Erev has to be somewhere you had access to on Shabbos. If I don't have access to it, I can't create that as my makom of where I am. However, if it's lower than tefachim erev, the erev is valid because below 10 tefachim is going to be part of the Rishus Harabim, and therefore the where I am and the erev is in the same place, I have access to it, and it's not going to be usher to use in Shabbos. So now the Gemara is making, that was the point of the Mishnah about in terms of the erev, but now the Gemara must have a dedicate for the following. Taima didn't know it's Yosef Be'ilan. That the reason that the Braisa is talking about the fact that you're about to move an erev within 10 tefachim, that's because you dafka drove the stake into the tree first, so that's why it didn't hang directly from the tree. But however, meaning the side point over here, halonei, so if you didn't drive it into the tree, but you hung the basket from the tree, it sounds like below 10 tefachim would also be problematic, which seems to be understanding. So now, Sida Tana is assuming that studim, that hanging directly from the tree, is going to be usher, but Sida Tzadim is going to be mutter. So how could the Rabbah argue that Sida Tzadim over here, everyone who holds of studim being usher would hold that Sida Tzadim or usher, and they make no difference. Here, there is a distinction between the two cases of whether it is plugged in or not. So the Gemara says, Amar of Papa, Hachaba Chakala Tchuka Askina. No, the Braisa we're dealing with, it was a narrow type of basket in which you have to force your hand there. But the Hahate Deshakala Erev, so that the time when you take the Erev out, Kamenai Leila Ilan, you have to move the tree, And by doing that, you'd be using the tree itself. That's usher according to everyone to use the tree itself. Since I have to use the tree itself in this dugma, in this example, then for sure it's going to be usher. That is what Rav Papa is coming to say, answering for Rava. So the Gemara therefore concludes, V'hilchusa, studin asur, and studin asur. The tries of the tree using that on Shabbos is considered muksa. However, the size of the sides, the second case removed, is going to be mutter. Now the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina? Ravashi, ashdamar, studin asurin. So now that we say this, hydarga de medalla, that if you have a ladder which is, Rashi is like raised up, right? It's a raised up ladder. Lo linche inish adikle. So a person shouldn't lean on a ladder on a palm next to the Rashi's like a watchtower. Davilet studin. Because that would add the status of studin, and you'd be using the tree more directly than studin studin, that would be usur. Rather, you should rest the ladder on the palm, and that way the ladder will come out to tzadei tzadin and be permitted to climb up it. And also, when he goes up it, that he shouldn't rest his foot in the stake, since that would not be using the stakes themselves, rather the side of the tree. Rather, he should rest the foot on the rungs of the ladder, which is definitely going to be considered tzadei tzadin, and that would be mutter. That's what comes out over here. Rabbi Yosha just pointed out that's the chora, the pashut over here. What exactly is avamina? So he says, yeah, pashut going down is the case that using, because going down, you're definitely not going to be using the tree whatsoever. But he's talking about going up, maybe going up, then I would have thought maybe there's a gzira that will actually come to use the ilan itself. That's the chumash from Rav Ashi over here, that is not the case, and is going to be mutter. Okay, now we're up to the Mishnah. Matirin pike amir lifnei behema. A person's allowed to untie the piking on the straw of the animals before the animals. U'mefasminis hakipun. You're also allowed to scatter the kipun. Rashi, the Gemara is going to discuss this. Avalos hazirin, not the zirin. Ein maraskinis hashachas los hacherubin lifnei behema. A person's not allowed to shred up the animal food. Why not? So this is a so the Rambam writes Beidaka Megaso. So whether the animal is small, the animal is large. So that Rabbi Yehuda Matir Bechurban the Raka. So I'll get to him in wine in a minute. Sorry, we'll just finish the Mishnah first. Rabbi Yehuda says that we want to cut up the carobs for the small animal is going to be mutter. So the Rambam learns that this issue over here is mitzad tochen, grinding. And he holds that someone who cuts something very, very thin, very, very small, is going to be chayav mitzad tochen. That's why chote cherubin labehima is going to be like tochen over here, and that's why it's going to be v'hashu, it's going to be usher. Others learn that this is not has to do with that issue over here. This, according to Rashi, is of tircha yaser, nothing to do with grinding. But lachor, that comes up a lot of ma'aseh, that we're all clear for this Rambam, that we hold that a person shouldn't grind up a small into small pieces. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Huna says, "Heinen pikin, heinen keepin." The pikin or keepin are the same things. Actually says they're both referring to straw, different types of straw. Pikin tray, so pikin are dafka bundles that are tied twice, and keepin plus the keepin are apparently they're tied three times. Now zrizin to arze, zrizin is these type of cedar things, Rashi says. And these cedar things are apparently wet. They're moist from the cedar tree, and as long as they retain their moistness, they're going to be fit for animal food. And Rashi points out that most people use them, though, to light a fire. So, v'hachi ka'amar, this is what the Mishnah is saying. You're allowed to untie the pikin in the bundles of straw before an animal, and one's only going to scatter the straw afterwards. V'hu, adin, l'kipin. The same thing is going to apply to keepin, to do the ones that are the three times bounded over, triple bounded. Of a lowest as zirzin, but not the zirzin, the seer of the things, little faster, little hotter, neither in regard to scattering or untying. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna says, my time of the Rav Chista, rather, Amar Rav Chista, my time of Rav Huna. So Rav Chista said, what's the reason of Rav Huna? Kasavar the mitrach b'ochla tarchinan, that someone who wants to improve an existing food, Rav Huna is understanding that one is allowed to take something that's already considered food and make it better, even though there's a tircha involved. Therefore, that's why one is allowed to untie the two nuts, Rashi says, and three, and he's allowed to scatter them in those cases. Then, is going to be lomashim. One is not allowed to make a new food on Shabbos. That's going to be the iser. That's going to be usher to create a new food on Shabbos. That's usher to do, because in that case, when you're doing that, creating a food substance, it's going to be enhancing, and then you've created ke'ilu, like you've created something new. Now the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Amar, no, heinin pikin heinin zirin. Both pikin and zirin are the same thing, the bundles of straw. Pikin tray, pikin are two, zirin plusa. Keep it the arze, what is keep it arze? And keep it the arze. Keeping ours are the cedar things. This is what the Mishnah is telling you. Matirin pike amir lifnei beva avlo ava puspuske lo. When I untie the pikin, the two type of bundles and straw before an animal, and not allowed to scatter them. Keeping puspuske nami. And also the cedars, one is not even allowed to scatter them or untie them. But even this is only going to apply to zirzin and not scattering, it's only regard to untying. So this is what, so we see according to Behuda, someone is not allowed to untie both kinds of bundles of straw, you're allowed to untie both of them, but you're not allowed to scatter them. And someone is allowed to untie and scatter the bundles of the cedar. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, my time of Yehuda. So what is the reasoning of Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara now says, Hasavar Shvila Chol Mashvinan, Mitrach Lo Tarchinan, that you are allowed to make food, you're allowed to make food that is edible for an animal, however you're not allowed to prepare and enhance a food, according to him. So now it comes out that Rav Huna and Rav Huda is literally the exact opposite. Rav Huna is saying that it's usher to make food, but it's permitted to increase the food and make it better. Whereas Rav Huda is saying it's put mutter to make food, it's usher to make food, to make it only better, but it's mutter to make it. So the Gemara says it's not. Now we learn in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "In Maraskin, it's a shachas of the chavud of the fina behemah. You're not allowed to shred up the animal food or the carbs before an animal. Bein dakam in gasa. Whether animal is a big animal or a small animal. The Gemara says, "My love, chavud duma de shachas." Similarly, these carbs are going to be similar halachically to the animal food. Ma shachas derachikhe. It must be that since we're talking about animal food over here, it's going to be soft usually. Afcharuven kirmichia. So too, when it comes to the carbs, they're also going to be soft and moist, and therefore they're going to be used for animal food. The Mishnah tells you though that one is not allowed to shred them. Alma lo tarchinim ba'ocha. Apparently, someone is not allowed to just enhance food in masiyot the Rav Huna, which would be a kasha. This is going to meet this Mishnah with kasha and Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, "Amar lach Rav Huna lo shachas duma dechiruv." No, here we're talking about a case of animal food which is similar to carbs. Macharav da'kushay. Just like carbs are hard when they are dry, Rashi says da'kushay. So to the animal food is hard when the animal is eating and sometimes requires softening. So the Gemara says, where do you find a case of animal food that's too hard for large animals' consumption? Regarding a young donkey, which for even regular animal food is too hard. So the Gemara now says, Tashma. And we learn in Rav Huna's position, the Gemara says that we learn from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda mater b'cherum l'daka. Rabbi Yehuda permits the carbs for a small animal, which implies l'daka in l'gasa lo, that for a small animal, yes, and for a large animal, no. Yamar bish lama tanakama kavar savar mitchach u'cha l'tarchina. Tanakama holds that we're not allowed to exert ourselves to enhance the food. Shavina mishavin, then you're allowed to take the food that's edible. Hainadaka amar Rabbi Yehuda cherum l'daka shavina me'ochlahu. So then I understand that Rabbi Yehuda's response. Rabbi Yehuda's response is saying that carbs for a small animal should also be considered made food edible, which would be mutter. But if you want to say the other way, like Rav Huna wants to tanya that Tanakama sarve shvuya aflinim mashvinan mitchach ba'ula and either matrichinan or tarchinan, that the Tanakama is holding that you're not allowed to make food, but you are allowed to improve the food. So then the Rabbi Huda demat bechurvin ladaka. Then Rabbi Huda says that Rabbi Huda's conclusion would be that you're permitted to take the hard carbs for a small animal, which is implying that a small animal yes, but a large animal no. But if that's the case, the Gemara says kol shekin lagasa, shouldn't it certainly be for a large animal? If a large animal is able to chew it up, the Tanakama is saying that it's usher to make a non-food into a food, therefore it's usher to shred the hard carbs. But then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, his response doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that there's no reason to say that it's usher for hard carbs for a small animal, since it's only going to be an improvement. But then kol shekin, it's going to be an improvement for a large animal, and it seems to be that Rabbi Yehuda is making the distinction between a small animal and a large animal. So the Gemara says, Misavar daka, no. So the Gemara is going to completely left off of this. I mean, daka meant the small one, daka meant, no, it didn't mean the small one. Rather, it meant, my daka is that gasa. It literally means a large animal here. That's very difficult. It's literally the opposite of what the Lord of Daka meant. The Gemara says, "Amai karla daka." So why are we calling daka a small animal? The daka b'uchla, because it's a large animal and it eats its food in a very daka b'uchla, in a daka stick away, in a good way. So that's why it's going to be considered daka over here. So then, therefore, he's understanding that even for a large animal and dafka a large animal, not a small animal. The Gemara says now. But the first part of the Mishnah is making a chiluk bin dakla bin gasa, which clearly was talking about in halakhically whether the animal was a small animal or a big animal. The Chad Rabbi Yehuda daka mamash kamar. So then Rabbi Yehuda responding, it doesn't make sense to assume that he meant daka, which lav davka. It meant a big animal. It clearly meant a small animal. So the Gemara says, you're right, kasha. That seemingly is difficult. Usually the rule is when you have a kasha, there is a teretz, but it's not going to be a tuf. Does not knock out to the shita. So we don't have a stira. We don't have a knockout of Rav Huna, but lechora it is problematic, and we're going to have to give a teretz. Usually we show them try to teretz. Kasha. The Gemara says, Tashma. then we learn from a Mishnah, mechatzin, someone is allowed to cut up, it's a delu entering on the next someone out, it's a delu in lifnei behemah, you're allowed to cut up the gourds before an animal on Shabbos. The gourds have already been harvested, and we're saying over here that gourds are usually set aside for human consumption over here, and they're not going to be considered mukta for regards to animals. Vesa nevela lifnei aklam, also you're allowed to set up the dead animal and to give it as animal food for the dogs. My lab delu in dumid nevela manavela derakifa afdelin derakifa. Seemingly, these gourds are going to be similar to the dead animal. The dead animal that you're feeding to the dog is usually soft. So too over here, the gourds are going to be soft. So the Mishnah is telling you that you're allowed to cut up these animals for an animal. Alma tarchina be'ucha. We see over here that someone is allowed to make something that is already edible. Now there's a kasha on Rav Yehuda, who says you're not allowed to do this to just improve the food. And Mar says, Amar lachar b'ilah, nevela d'madilin. Now we're talking about the fact that there is a comparison, obviously, between the dead animal and the gourds. What are they? Madlum d'ashuni hafavila. We're talking about the gourds are generally considered tough. You don't have to cut them up. So too, the dead animal is going to be tough. You don't have to cut it up dafka. Where do you find such a case that they are going to be considered tough? B'basar pili, apparently elephant meat, which is going to be very tough for a dog. Yes, they used to eat elephant meat. Have a pillow. Inami b'girutra zutre. Or, alternatively, they're talking about a case of meat that was given to smaller dogs. And so given to smaller dogs, they can't eat without being cut up. That's what we're discussing over here. So then where has a final kasha review? Then where's this tashma? We have a kasha, the tanya, Rav Chanan min our dog. Now Chanan min our taught the braisa, someone's allowed to crumble straw and animal food on Shabbos, and where's the ma'arv, and also mix them together. Now, both the straw and the animal food is going to be edited without crumbling, yet the braisa tells you it's going to be mutter. So isn't that alma tarchina be'ucha? Someone is allowed to exert himself, to work hard, to improve food that's already possible to eat before Shabbos. So where it says, Tevin betivna saria. No, here we're talking about the straw, which apparently is some saria, like we saw before, is like spoiled straw. So therefore, it's not going to be considered edible unless you mix it up with the animal food. Aspach tabile zutre, and the animal food dafka needs you to crumble it because in the best case, the animal food is being fed to zutre beile zutre to small donkeys rather. So therefore, you can't eat it without crumbling it, and therefore it needs to be for tikkun ochel, needs to be done for the ochel itself. Therefore, it's going to be mutter. And we see over here that tikkun ochel apparently is not going to be something which creates necessarily something which creates an iser of tikkun of makah v'pater. So the shaila in the afronim, Mishra Brura brings this gemara as l'chora araya that there's not makah v'pater. Don't say that by ochel achila, that there's a concept called makah v'pater. It's a shaila about that. The Gemara says, continuing discussing feeding animals, Gemara says in ofsin is hagama. Someone is not allowed to stuff the animal's face, which is going to be similar to lashon. The Gemara is going to discuss what the difference is. Again, all these are examples of putting it down its throat in some form or another. Someone is not allowed to fatten the calf on Shabbos. You're allowed to, again, put fruit halitini in Amadamazai. So he was pouring, stuffing it down his throat. That's right, that pasuk by Esav. Someone is allowed to force feed chickens. You're allowed to put water into bran on Shabbos. You're not allowed to knead it together. That would be the Isser Daraisa of lush. This might not be necessarily the derisa, but that would be under the prohibition of lush. And the Mishnah continues, Venos in Maya, Lifnei Devorim, Lifnei Yonim, Shabashovach, someone is not allowed to place water before bees, before doves in a dove coat. Avalnos, Lifnei Ovzim, Tarnagot, Lifnei Yonim, Deriso. Someone is allowed to place them before the geese, the chickens, and the pigeons on Shabbos. And where it says, my Enos, what does this lush really mean? You're not allowed to do this Ovzim of a cannibal. I'll review that Enos in La Evos, Besof, Me'er. You're not allowed to create, to force you to the point you're going to create a trough in its belly, in its mouth. In his stomach, rather than his mouth. In his stomach, that would be usher. The Gemara says, "Mi ika ay gavna." Is it really possible to do this? How is it possible? The Gemara says, "Yeah." In Gemara of Rav Yirmiya Medifti, Ladidi Chazuliyo Taaya the Ochla Kura Vatanu Kura. Rav Yirmiya Medifti said, "I actually saw this once. There was an Arab guy, an Arab merchant, who was selling things once, and he fed his cannibal the core worth of food. It's a lot of food right here. A core is usually 30 subs. It's a lot. That's a ton of beitzim." Do the whole chesed, I think, what is the number? It's like 144 beitzim or something like that. That's a ton of food. So, and you fed it all the way down his animal's throat, so we see this possible stuff an animal to this extreme. Now the Mishnah continues, the Mishnah said, in mamir, and allowed to fatten the calf. We allowed to put food down the throat. Whereas Ezra Amrav, Ezra Alata, what's the difference? What's considered fattening it, and what is considered stuffing it down the throat? Amrav Yudam Ra, the Makam Sheina Yochala Hafsir. The fattening, the Mishnah is saying, that is an area of the animal's throat that the animal can't bring the food back up. Halata, the Makam Sheikhala Hafsir. However, putting the food down their throat, that's talking about an area the animal can bring the food back up. Rav Chista, Mar Idi, the Makam Sheina Yochala Hafsir. Both these cases are talking about where the animal can no longer bring the food back up. Fattening it is referring to a kli, using some sort of a vessel or something like that. A spoon actually gives an example. So that using that, that's the Mishnah saying is asar lata biyad, putting it down the throat is going to be by hand, and that is going to be mitzvah. With the runner of Yudah, there's a chilek between a spoon, using a spoon, that is going to be asar, or using a kli. Why is this asar in general? What is the isra over here? So the Meiri explains that this is asar mitzad, tircha yasira, using something else. The Rambam writes that this is maybe asar because you're going to come to need, you're going to come to do lash. That's another reason that some explain that this is asar. So another trillion of lashes, that maybe it's to deal with muktzah, you're touching the animal, getting involved with touching the animal to the point where you might actually touch it, so then sticking it down the throat might be a problem of muktzah. Very interesting pshatim over here. Now the Mark Katin is Mesiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is a kasha from the Braisa. Minhal Katin Latanagolim. One is allowed to force feed chickens, Vain Sarak Lomar, Shemilakhtin, you're certainly allowed to feed them. The Mark says, Imlakhtin, Leona Shavach, Leona Aliyah. However, you're not allowed to feed the doves. The dovecot ones, not yours, or the doves of another Yoni Aliyah, they live literally in the upper floor, upper chambers. And obviously, you're not allowed to say that you have to force. You're not allowed to force them. My melakten, my melhalketin, my malkitin. What's the difference between force feeding and just by feeding? Remember, ilim melhalketin desafel lebiadaim. You understand that force feeding is discussing it when you're forcing it down their throats. So then, ma'atim deshadu become mayu. So by your hand, afka biadaim rather. And the other one is when you put the food in front of them. Klal tionish tovach leina aliyah mishena kamayu adam below. You're not allowed to even just put food in front of them. Why not? Alalav ma'alketin ma'akum sheina yachol lehachzer. Rather, it must be that we're talking about the area that you can't put the food back up. That's the chiluk of air. Malaktin ma'akum sheina yachol lehachzer. That you're allowed to stuff it down to the food where you would be able to bring it back up. The animal bring it back up. That's what Rice is telling you, that it's permitted to feed the chicken by hand, even if it's going very far back, as long as it's not the point where the chicken can't not swallow it anymore. But this implies, though, that the lashon of hamra, fattening it up like that, that is going to be used dafka with a kli, with like the spoon that we discussed in Rashi. To the Reuda, this would be a kasha and a Reuda, though. When it says Amar lachar Reuda, he's going to respond to the kasha. He'll say leolam mehal ketin desafel lebeadam. Force feeding over here is talking about dafka with your hands. And feeding is if he throws it in front of the bird. So the kakashalach. So someone, you can ask the kasher. Kasher yonah shavach v'yonah aliyah l'mishta kamayu nami lo. That the doves that you don't own is also going to be asar. And mezorz alechas. That's the chiluk. The fact that when it comes to feeding my own chickens, then I have a chiyuv to feed them, right? Even before myself, potentially, right? If there's enough food to go around, I actually have a chiyuv to feed them first. But ane in mezorz alecha. However, there's no mezorz for you, and therefore it's going to be asar to feed them. So the Gemara said, "Kedisana is learning the Brisa. No some results of a kelav. Someone's allowed to place food before a dog. But no some results of a chazir. Now they place food before a pig. And my freshman tells us, what's the difference between a dog and a pig? Zero is a lechav. Zero is a lechav. You have a chiyuv to feed a dog, and you don't have a chiyuv to feed the pig. Why do you have a chiyuv to the? Because the Gemara says that a dog. The Gemara learns first of all that you're allowed to own a dog." And not only if you don't own a dog, the Gemara is going to continue. Basically, the Hamshah says that even if you don't own the dog, even just stop have a dog, that there's an inyan to feed a dog even on Shabbos, even if it's not potentially your dog over here. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Ashi, Masdisa Namadaka." Our Mishnah also seems to be meduyek this way, seems to be indicate this way. Why? Because Einos Din Ma'ala Fei Devar, but Fei Yonah B'Shabbat Shabbat. Our Mishnah says someone's not allowed to place water before the bees or before the doves in a dove coat. About Nos Lefnei Avzin Lefnei Gadol Lefnei Ardeosos. You are allowed to put them in front of the geese, the chickens, and the doves, other type of doves. The Gemara says, "My time, what's the difference?" La Mishum Da'aneh Mizrach Alafav. And it was another. The Gemara was assuming the first two are not yours. That's the main difference. If the animals are not yours, then you don't have to feed them. If the animals are yours, then you don't have to feed them. And where says, according to reason, my area, my, what's the difference between water? I feel the chitim is harder than every loss, then even wheat and barley should not be able to give them to the dove coats. What's the difference? And where says, the only reason that water is usher and food is mutter is because water they're able to get very easily. They could go get it from the swamp nearby. However, food that is harder to find, not really available to them, you are really allowed to give it to them. So this seems to be, the Gemara seems to be assuming right now that that if something is not a tircha and it's something that the animal doesn't have in front of you, that is something that is going to be mutter to give to an animal, even if it's not yours. However, it's interesting to note, the Rambam doesn't pass like this. The Ran asks his kasha. The Ran actually, the machlokes around the Rambam about this. The Ran says that mashma from here, that this would be the case. That's what the Ran wants to tell. However, the Rambam doesn't pass like that, and that's how we go like in Shulchan Aruch. We make no chiluk. We assume that all types of feeding for animals, whether it's accessible or not for the animal, is going to be usher. That's why the common thing people used to, I think less so now, people are more aware of the fact that it's usher, but feeding on Rosh Hashanah, people like to do during Tashlich, take bread and throw it to the animals, that is usher to do. That's usher to do based on this Gemara, based on the fact that it's usher because they're not your animals, and it's usher to feed them. And this also is the Shaila about the Shabbat Shira, the Magen Avraham discusses this minhag, based on the Maral, very early sources that there's minhag, but Magen Avraham says the problem with it is that there's a thing that people used to do, is that they used to take like the wheat of breadcrumbs and feed the chickens with it, because it's like a remez, apparently that's what I saw brought down, as like a remez to the fact that Klal Yisrael was saved, and when they were saved in the Shira and the Yam, the little children, apparently little children used to do this also, is because little children were giving food to the chickens, to the animals on the side, or something like that, something along those lines. Either way, that's a shaila about the minhag. Everyone should try to figure out what they do there, but that is something in general, it's also to feed animals that are not yours on Shabbos. So now the Gemara continues. Gemara says, Darash Abiyonai Apiska Debin Siyai. Maidach says, the Gemara goes on to a little bit of a side note over here. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, Yodea Tzadik Din Dalim, the one who's righteous knows the suffering of the poor. Yodea Kashbarachu Bekelashim Zosim Latin. Kashbarachu knows the dog's food. He doesn't, not a lot. He has very little, as she says. And yet, Kashbarachu created his nature that he's able to have a stomach that can handle the food he eats. It'll last him 3 days. Kiddushan, as the Mishnah tells you. We're talking about a dog eats an avela. At what point do we assume it's still in his mouth, in his body rather than his stomach? And where it says, for a dog, it's 3 24-hour periods, 3 days basically. When it comes to fish or to birds, then it's going to be as long as the fire came to be then consumed. That's a different getter. We see the dog last 3 days. That's a crazy amount of time. Amar Avim Nuna, Shmamina, we see from here, Orach Ara L'Mishrei Umtza L'Kalba, that it's proper to throw meat to a dog. How do we learn this from over here? So we see that apparently, just in general, I think the Gemara was saying, it is based on what we just said. We said before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik even for the dogs. So we're saying that since that based on that, if Hashem is so careful with the dogs, that we should feed them also. Some explain, I think that when the Pasuk says, Lo Yifrat's Kerev L'Shona, did we see Ma'amar Chazal? I don't remember exactly now. Lo Yifrat's Kerev L'Shona, that the dogs didn't bark in Mitzrayim. That's why we give them this nevela, and that's why there's an inyan. You're allowed to feed the dog even if it's not yours. That's actually quoted. The way the Magen Avraham learns from this Gemara, that's how we paskin. That we accept this Magen Avraham, that someone is, even if it's not your dog, you're allowed to feed a dog on Shabbos the food, because of this idea, the Gemara says over here, of Orachara L'Mishle Umtza L'Kalba. The comment, the Gemara says, how big should it be? I'm Rav Mari, Mashach Unnei V'Chutrei Abashe, that it should be the size to be a size of its ear, and that's immediately followed by the stick. The Gemara says, Hani Mili B'Davra, and this is the only time in a desert, an unpopulated area, but Masalo, however in the city, one shouldn't throw many meat to Asa L'Mishach, because it will come to follow you. If Rashi says it's going to follow you, it's going to cost you a lot of money, you have to feed it all the time, and that's going to, therefore you shouldn't do this. I'm Rav Papa, Leis Ta'anem Akalba, there is no animal that's more poor than a dog. There's no animal wealthier than a pig. What in the world is this talking about? There's a lot of different pshatim. Sort of Yashiv brought down in the name of the sefer Charedim, a scary one over here. He says pshat is that someone who violates lashon hara, they're going to come back as a Gilgul, they're going to come back in reincarnation as a dog. You have to come back as an animal. And which you're going to come back to Africa as a dog. And he's saying that the Kelev over here is because everyone violates this Lashon Hara. So therefore it's Aniyah, it's very poor because everyone does it. And therefore a lot of people are going to come back as this dog. However, a pig is that something that people are already then, and people now, even the most basic people will try to not to have Chazer. Chazer, that people that's like really, really, even they'll have Basar B'chol, that, but Chazer they won't have. So that because people are keeping it, so that's usher, is because it's considered wealthier, because people follow it more, and therefore there's less people coming back as a pig in a reincarnation as a gilgul. Okay, fascinating pshat, Rav Yosher's quote. The Gemara continues now. Tanak Avase de Rav Yehuda. So what in the world are we picking up from here? The Rashi says that we're talking about Shahamra, and Lashon Havamra meant before stuffing it down. That's where you can't, where you're going to stuff it down to the point where it's going to go down and you can't bring it back up. Ezi Hamra v'Ezi Alata. What's considered to do Hamra, to stick it down? And what's considered force feeding it all the way down? The Gemara says, what's the difference between the two? Hamra, Marbitza, Pokes, Espia. That Hamra is the Lashon that we've quoted before, is the Lashon of Fanning. It doesn't really mean that. Whatever it means is bring it out to its knees and go open its mouth so the animal can't close it. Machila, Karshina, Mayim, Vasachar. You're going to feed it vetches and water at the same time. Halata is machila meuma demashke meuma. When it comes to putting food down its throat, that's talking about standing in its water, standing up, forcing its mouth open. Vinos the karshinu v'nei atman v'nei atman, and you give the veggie separately and this one separately. That is the lashon of hamra versus matzah. That's a raya for this is going to be a raya, as we mentioned before, for Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara continues mehalkatin the tarnagol. I'm going to put food down the throats of chickens. So says the Gemara now. Amar bayam misa kamei demara. I asked Amar, usually Amar over here we saw earlier, where that was referring to Rav Yosef. Is Mastisa Mani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah, who says that apparently pouring the water into the brain is not going to be in lush. This doesn't lush very well. Kneading. He holds in the brain, Echanos and Akemach, someone who puts in the flour of Echanos and Labayim, and someone contributes the water, Achron Chaim, the 1 second of lush. So according to him, We see that when you're putting the water together, that is considered the mixing. That's going to Rebbe. Actually, you have to start kneading it, and therefore, until kneading the dough, that's going to be also. Apparently, Rebbe Yosef is a malach of lash, is actually starting to knead like into like a dough-like mass. So that, I think we pass like that. The Gemara says, "Dilma adkan l'chamar Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda asam elakemach." That's only with regards to flour. Divar gibulu, because that's something that's kneadable. It formed into dough. Aval morsan, however, bran. Flavar gibulah. Filar biyosef Rebbe Yehuda would agree that simply adding the water to it, that'd be the isser over here. It seems to be a darabanan because if it never comes to actual lach of lush of actually kneading it together, the chora it's going to be only an isser darabanan. But at that point, it's still going to be usher. The Gemara says, "Lo tazal leiter." Can't be that that's a pshat in Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda because the dana beheda, because we learned b'feirus in the brisa. In nosin mayim the morsan. Now they put water into bran. Divrei Rebbe. That's the words of Rebbe. Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda says, "Nosin mayim the morsan." Can't put water into bran. And therefore, according to him, therefore, it's not going to be conclusive. If it has to be like master, not Rabbi Yosef, it would not be considered necessarily a mixture to be considered the melacha of lush. So Mark quotes a brisa, Tana Rabbanan, Engel, and Sakali. You're not allowed to need toast and grain and flour with water on Shabbos. Yesh Omer, and some say you are allowed to need it. And Mark says, Ma'an Yesh Omer, who are these Yesh Omer? Rabbi Chester, if this is not turning the next summer, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, this is Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. He says that just adding water to the flour is not considered lush, is not considered kneading, so therefore you're not going to be chayef for lush if you do that, unless you actually start doing the gibul. However, this is going to be that if you do a shinoi, then it's going to be mutter according to him, because in that case it was only a shayla of a derabanan, and doing a shinoi is also going to be a double lashon. And over here he is going to be makel in that circumstance. So the Gemara says hechi mishane. So we'll pick up hechi mishane. What exactly you have to do differently, we'll pick up right there in Mishnah tomorrow.